it, but everybody in the city was too afraid to take that step. So God called somebody. He called a leper. He called somebody who had nothing to lose. Anybody here say, I ain't got nothing to lose? Come on and praise his name. He called somebody that had a death sentence. He called somebody that said, I'm dying anyway, so I might as well. I don't want to sit here and die. I don't want to. Oh, come on, praise him. You see, I don't know about the lepers, but I think in my mind, if I had been one of those lepers, I would have said, if I go in the city, they're going to cast me out, I'm going to die. Oh, praise his name. But if I sit here, won't be nobody to bury me. But if I go to the Samaritans and they kill me, at least they'll put me in the ground. Oh, praise his name. That's how they looked at it. But they didn't realize that even when I made up my mind that I'm not counting my life precious, but I'm going to take a step of faith. Oh, come on, praise his name. Then I realized, I discovered what the Lord had in store. See, God had a plan the whole time. We can't see God's plan.
We know your heart.
The Bible even says, I
had
not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for us. But it's revealed by his
Spirit.
Our mail
address is Post Office Box 968, Louisiana 71411.
Say yeah.
Post Office Box 968,
of what Jesus did. The Bible says, I wish y'all could hear me today. I wish y'all would look at me. She gonna be all right. Just look at what I'm saying. I want you to hear the message. Get this message. The Bible says that Jesus used for an example. He said that the Samaritan.
Wednesday and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege of hearing your word. Meet us in the text and tell of the truth we're teaching, so every hearer's heart might not only hear but heed what you have to say. Do again in your word as only you can do by your Spirit. Give us illumination and understanding so that we might practice the principles for profit and give you praise. We bless your holy name this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Would you turn your Bibles to John chapter 12? I want to commence reading at verse 12. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Recorded are these words. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the time, or the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And today we were dealing with Palm Sunday, the place, the purpose of the people rather, and the purpose. Palm Sunday, the place, the people, and the purpose. We dealt at 7 o'clock service with understanding verse 12 talks about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, understanding it and getting a better grip on why God chose Jerusalem. Well, Psalm 87:3 says it's the city of God. It's important to understand that God chose Jerusalem as his own. It was an endearment of God. Also, Jerusalem was known as a city of truth, Zechariah 8:3. And then when we look at how God views Jerusalem, how he has said word after word about Jerusalem, there are some things that made Jerusalem special to God. One, it was the place God chose to send his only begotten son to die for mankind. But also Jerusalem was the place God chose to reconcile man unto himself. And so as we recognize Jerusalem being the chosen city of God, we also realize that according to the word of God, that Jerusalem will be the place where God rules and reigns from in the millennial kingdom. And so Jerusalem plays an important role in the history of mankind as relates to God and to Jesus Christ. And so when we see God attaching his affections to anything, it has to be something worthy. If it's not worthy because of its origin, it's worthy because of its ordination. In other words, we're not worthy because of us. We're worthy because of him. And so when we begin to understand God's operation, it helps us to know. Also, Jerusalem is known as the city of peace because it is also the place where Jesus would give his life to make peace with man and God. And whoever accepted Jesus came into a right relationship with the Father, and it all happened at the cross. So the songwriter had it right when it said, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight spiritually. And now I am happy all the days. And so we talked about Jerusalem, the place. But I want to move on to part two, and I want to talk about the people. Because the place was necessary to understand the people that God chose to do this great work in. John 12:12 and verse 13 says, on the next day, much, and this word much means different nationalities and ethnicities. It doesn't just mean a whole lot of people, a whole lot of Jews. It literally meant many various different ethnicities and nationalities, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, which means save us. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so there are many things that are present on this Palm Sunday that we need to look at. On that day, thousands and thousands of people, various ethnicities and nationalities were there. But it's important to understand that even though there was an assortment of backgrounds represented on that day, various religious leaders, Pharisees, the rich and the poor, the well-off and the common, etc., 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 were all present on that day. There were two points that I want to lift up before you to help you understand the people. The first reason that Jesus came to meet were the Jews themselves, the chosen people of God. The first point is understanding that Jesus came for the Jews. That's important to understand. Notice what the Jews said in verse 13. Blessed is the King of Israel. The King of who? Israel was the nationality of the Jews. The King of Israel, not the King of the world, the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. When Jesus went through Samaria, he met the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is what he said to her. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. John 4:22. Now, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that we're in this mountain worshiping, but we are worshiping because we recognize our source. We recognize what is given to the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews, or here it is, the salvation belongs to the Jews. So Jesus came first to Jerusalem to save the Jews. Now, what is interesting in this first Palm Sunday day leading to the Holy Week, leading up to Calvary, then to resurrection, is this, that it started off with a parade on Sunday, lining the streets and throwing down palm branches and parts of clothes, honoring him. But he didn't come on a stallion as a war-raging king. He came on a lowly donkey to show that he came in peace. And so that was one problem with the Jews, because he didn't come in enough pomp and circumstance. He didn't come as lifted up and celebrated as they wanted. He didn't come in as a conquering king, because they were looking for him to do a literal overthrow of the powers that be. But he was coming to throw the main and major power in the spirit realm over. He was coming to defeat Satan. And if he defeated Satan, surely he'd defeat the enemies that Satan were using. As Satan was using these people, God would use Jesus to defeat Satan and then thus defeat the overthrow of the people of God. And so they didn't understand God had a plan. God does always those things decent and in order. And here, all they wanted is deliverance. And you know, the problem with people who just want what they want is they don't care how they get it. But what they miss is God don't work like them. You got to go through something. You got to show something. You got to make God know that you are worthy of what you are asking him for. And so he sends his son, his only begotten son, to redeem them. And instead of receiving him, they rejected him. So the first thing I need you to understand is that Jesus came for the Jews. And throughout the scriptures, God had promised to send a Redeemer and a Messiah to Israel. Matthew 1:21. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph concerning Mary, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He shall save his people from their sins. Salvation was originally intended for the Jews. Now he had come. It was Palm Sunday. People shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us." Unfortunately, some of the same people in a few days would shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." That's why, through scripture and experience, I've learned to take with a grain of salt the people who pat you on the back and so quickly that pat can turn to a stabbing in the back. You got to be careful. Everybody that smiles in your face does not necessarily mean you're good. Everybody that tells you you did good ain't telling the truth. Everybody that say they mean you well don't mean you well. Talk, oh, y'all know it, don't you? It's cheap to talk, but it's harder to walk the walk. And if folk are talking cheap talk, just watch the walk and you'll get an understanding of what is real. They claim, profess, demonstrated by way of celebration that they loved Jesus. But that was only because they wanted Jesus to do something for them. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? How when you don't do what folk want you to do, no wonder the secular songwriter had it right when he said, "It's a thin line." Now y'all go to acting holier than thou now. Between love and hate. It's 5 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry. I know y'all were already there. Just getting in. Oh, y'all was already. Yeah. Okay. When we begin to understand that this record says that they shouted, "Crucify him." And Peter spoke to the Sanhedrin council in the book of Acts. He said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel," and he keeps on, "that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified," God, and talks on, and it says, "God raised him from the dead." Now, he's talking to all Israel. He's talking to the Jewish nation. He's talking about the people of God. He's saying, "You killed your king. You rejected what God the Father sent as a Messiah in the person of Jesus. You crucified him, killed him, but God raised him from the dead." See, what I love about the Lord is even when you kill what he sends to you, he's got the last word. But listen at this, when he raises what you kill, no longer do you have exclusivity to what you had before you killed it. I wish I had a helper in the house here. So now that he raises Jesus from the dead, he's no longer exclusively for the Jews. Jews can't lay hold on him as their only king and the king only for them. Now he's the king of whosoever will. And I hate to say it, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. I'm really sorry the Jews rejected Jesus. But I'm glad y'all didn't get that. I said, I'm sorry they rejected him. But God knew they were going to do that, so he gave them the chance to have the best first and all to themselves. But see, some things are just too good to keep to yourself. And they ain't have sense enough to know it. And so now he extends this salvation, this redemption to whosoever. Matter of fact, the 20th verse reads that there were some Greeks who had come for to worship. And so when you begin to understand that, my brothers and sisters, they represented the sum total of all mankind, in that it was anybody other than the Jews. So that means every ethnicity in this world, every people, every culture, every custom, every people, Jesus is now made available for. So the first people he came to were the Jews. But the second point, lest you miss it again, is the second group of people he came to save were whosoever will. Anybody, everybody who accepted Jesus as their Savior. And my brothers and sisters, what makes this so wonderful is God gave us an understanding of all the represented folk in this place. You wasn't there present physically, but Palm Sunday itself represents hope. And all the people of all times and of all races who came to Jesus or who will come to Jesus came because it began this Palm Sunday offering hope to all. To all. It began with the Jews and ended with whosoever will. As a matter of fact, before Jesus went back to heaven in Acts 1:8, he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world. That means if you're going to be a witness of me, what are you witnessing to? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And that's everybody. At one time, only the Jews could say Jesus saves. But just think of the joy of meeting somebody who's down and out. And they look at you and you look all churchy, but you tell him, just like he saved me, Jesus saves. You can reach down to the gutter, into the uttermost worst parts of life and its experience, and pull him up and tell him, Jesus saves. Y'all know, it helps you to witness when you go to the crack house. It helps you to witness when you go to the White House. It helps you to witness when you go back to your house, to tell them no matter who you are, what you are, what you've done, how far you've fallen, how bad you've missed it, what things are going on in your life, Jesus saves. What's hard about that? What's hard about that? Telling the pimp and the prostitute. Telling the drunker and the drug addict. Telling the high mighty and the little and low. Jesus saves. And here's what you need to know. To the most hopeless man or woman alive, tell them that they are not beyond the reach of Jesus' salvation. And do you understand the hope that that provides to all of us? Sit down for just another minute. I'm going to let you go. Listen. Listen. When we begin to understand how important this is and how Jesus Christ has made it clear in the Word that he wants us to be witnesses for him. If we grasp this concept, more folk would understand that I don't have to come to church messed up and leave church worse. Y'all didn't get that, did you? You could come looking for a word and get every word but a word from the Lord that messes with your spirit and messes with your emotions and messes with your sight. You could come wanting to see, meet, get in touch with, get connected with God and have an experience that further disconnects you, disharmonizes you, and dislocates you from the presence of God. But when you know, no matter how or what your situation is, if you can connect to him, I want to tell you so badly about the purpose of Palm Sunday. Suffice it to simply say that it gives hope. It gives hope because in the 19th verse, look at what the ending of that verse says. That the Pharisees said to themselves, see ye how ye prevail nothing? Man, do you really see how what we're doing amounts to nothing? They didn't know the word. They didn't know that if God be for you. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand that he was a present help in time of trouble. They didn't understand that God would never leave nor forsake his people. They didn't understand how the Lord would make provisions for them and take care of them through the person of Jesus Christ. And so they recognized that the stuff they were using just wasn't working against Jesus or the people of God. You ought to take comfort in the fact that no weapon, I said no weapon. Weapons come in all forms. But I'm so glad that before weapons come, no. Don't care where it was manufactured, how it was manufactured, for what purpose it was manufactured. It can't hurt the believer because Jesus Christ has already paid for and provided not only our salvation, but our protection. No weapon that is formed, listen, against you. Do you know Satan got some customized weapons with your name on it? Y'all, look. Customized weapons. See, the devil, listen, our weapons of warfare are not knives and guns and bullets and bombs. No. But the world's are. And even the tactical weaponry that they use in various forms. Listen, it all follows the same reality. It can't harm you. No weapon. Listen, the problem is not that it's a weapon, but that it's formed against you. It'll tear somebody else up. It'll rip somebody else's life apart.
But if it's formed against you, it just meant a mess up. It just meant a backfire. It just meant that thing ain't gonna work. You can work it however you work it, but when it's all through working, it's not gonna work out, because God's got this